We're going to talk today on water baptism and the importance of water baptism. So I don't forget, you do not have to be water baptized to be saved. But it is important that we follow the Lord in obedience to what He tells us. Today's Communion Sunday. We're going to be taking communion. You don't have to take communion to be saved. But it's something we do to honor the Lord, and that's the same way with water baptism. So I believe that water baptism is important in the life of every believer. You know, in other cultures, it's a sign that you're, leaving your old religion behind. And we ran into that when we was on the mission field a little bit. It was a big step because families would disown people if they chose to be water baptized into what they considered a different faith. And so it was a very big step. Now, we don't have that problem here in the United States per se. But I do believe we need to take water baptism and that decision very seriously. And we're going to look at the spiritual advantages of water baptism today. And one of the things that I found is that sometimes we struggle with getting past our past. You know, I believe all of us have a past. You know, some things in our life that we're not proud of. I know I do, or did. And I know that getting born again and coming to Christ and things like that really help. But also there's the concept of what water baptism, and as I dive into this day, you're going to kind of see a little bit more what I'm talking about. Because as I believe that if we understand it in a spiritual way, it's not just something we do for fun. You know, it's not just something we do out of tradition, but there's power behind it. And I believe we really need to take the plunge. Amen. And freedom is only a revelation away. Scripture I want to start at first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's found in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come to worship here today in a free country where we can freely worship you. Lord, I thank you for the special anointing that's here today, the corporate anointing that each and every believer, as they came today, Lord, they just bring the presence of God with them. So our goal is just to get deeper in your presence. And Lord, right now I just yield to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the Bible, God's holy word, there is different baptisms that are mentioned in Scripture. And we're going to look at two today. We're going to look at being baptized into the body, and then the concept of water baptism and what all that means. So first we're going to be looking at baptized into the body of Christ, and that's what this passage here is talking about. You know, there's only one body of Christ, even though we know there's many denominations, correct? And the denominational influence, or non-denominational influence in our case, you know, we just have maybe different methodologies or different ways that we do things. But everybody who is really born again, who is really saved, no matter what denomination, church they go to, we're all baptized into one body, and that's called the body of Christ. So they're really, we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, even though may fuss and fight about silly little things, you know, like family does, you know, we're just really one body. And that spiritual body is important that we understand that. And when that happens is that at the time of our new birth, it doesn't happen the time you're born as a baby. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus came and Jesus told him, "You must be born again." And that just went over his head. He couldn't understand, well, does that mean I got to go back in my mother's womb? Is the question that he asked. And Jesus says, no, you know, it's a spiritual rebirth. And see, that's what I like, that terminology. Different denominations may use conversion or come to Christ or whatever the thing is. But I personally like what Jesus said when he said, born again. Because what it did for me is I understood the fact that I received new life. And really, that's what Christ has for us. He's made provision for so many things. And when we're doing that, you know, to be in the family of God or baptized in His body, that means we must be related. You know, you got to be in a family. You know, I remember years ago, my mom's side of the family, I think her dad had 10 or 11, I don't know how many siblings. But anyway, every year they would meet down at the Moravia thing and have a dinner and all that. But also, we weren't the only family that rented that facility. There was other people, a small family rented it also, and they were outside in a different place. Well, anyway, our family would take a big picture, and there's about 100 people in it. No kidding. They would stand up on the bandstand at different heights, and we'd all get in there because we're of the family, the same family. They wanted to record that and to be able to know, you know, what it was to be in the family and who could make it that day. Well, one day my grandma showed me a picture. They says, "We can't figure out who this kid is." It was a kid from our church whose family was also down there. He would hop in the picture and he would be a part of our family. You know, now it doesn't work that way. You just can't hop in. You know, you have to be born into a family to be part of the family, or you need to be adopted in, as it says in the Bible, because we're adopted in. And, you know, an adoption, what I like about that is that you get chosen, praise God. God chose us. You know, when you have a kid on your own, you get what you got, right? And you got to deal with it. But when we're adopted in, that means we get a pick, and that's an awesome thing. So the word baptizer means to dip or to immerse. It's like dipping a ladle in water, and that's really what baptize. Now, we believe in immersion. Now, some people may sprinkle and all that stuff, and I don't, you know, like I say, baptism, water baptism is not necessary for salvation, but I believe if you're going to do something, you got to do it as close to the Bible as you can. Amen? So I believe in immersion. I know that some people have deathbed conversions and stuff like that. That's why, you know, you can, you know, be saved up in a hospital or somewhere or right before you die and you make it to heaven. But I think if we have time, I think we should follow the Lord in obedience. You know, I've used this testimony, and I apologize, but it's one of the better ones that I can think. We had a lady in the church. She's well over 90-some years old, and it really was meaningful for her. She wanted to be water baptized, and I've told this story before, and she couldn't walk very good. And we had some connections at the pool, and they opened up the pool one evening for us, and we wheeled her in a wheelchair down into the water to a certain depth, under 5 foot, you know what I'm saying? And she stood up out of the wheelchair. I baptized her, got her back up out of the water. She sat back in the wheelchair, and we walked her out. And I'll tell you what, if that lady can be baptized, I don't know who can make an excuse to follow the Lord in obedience. Amen? And it's a spiritual thing, and I'm going to share some of the reasons in a moment here why it's so important that we do it. And, you know, to be dipped in water, it's a beautiful picture of what we're going to see. But what about this body? It talks here. It says, Jew or Greek, slave or free. No matter what your nationality is or what you come from, we're in the same family. And whether we're slave or free, you know, it doesn't matter what you do for a living. What matters is who you are for a living. Who owns you? Who do you follow? And what is Christ Jesus to you? And when we do that, when we understand that we're born again, it talks about the idea of us drinking into one spirit. You know, there might be many, many flows that you and I go after. You know, some people don't like our style of worship. I understand that, you know, and there's different flows, but we all drink from the same river. You know, I enjoy getting into the presence of God, and it lets that river flow. And we start to feel the presence of God. The goal that we have here at church is not to entertain anybody. You know, I'm not a very good entertainer. I know that. But my goal is to get people into the presence of God. Because getting us into the presence of God is where life change happens. It's not about being entertained. There's a lot of people who can tell a lot of jokes and do a lot of things. But it's about the anointing of God. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that sets us free and helps us to become the person in Christ that God wants us to be. And I encourage you to dive in and take that plunge into the things of the Spirit. Next passage I want to see is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 7. It's a little longer, but that's good. God's Word is God's Word. Amen. It says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk, now here's the key, in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we be no longer slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So here we're going to talk about the baptized into the death. Now this passage per se doesn't really tell about water baptism, but explains the spiritual picture behind water baptism. And see, I was thinking about this today when I woke up, and maybe last night before I went to bed. You know, I really feel that we each need to come to that decision in our life of what are we going to do with God's Word? What are we going to do with it? You know, that's what led me to Christ. Do we believe the Bible is God's Word, or do we believe it's not God's Word? We have to settle that in our hearts first. Because if we believe it's God's Word, then we need to investigate it and see what it says and what we need to do about our response to God's challenges for our life. Now, if we don't believe it's God's Word, well, then you get what you got, right? And we need to get back to the place that it is God's Word, because I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, God's Word is true. It will change your life. There's a life-changing power in the Word of God. When we apply faith or mix faith with what we read, things happen. That's when everything just starts to change and miracles take place in our life. I remember starting out and reading the Bible, and I believe this wasn't part of my message today, but I believe I'm ministering to somebody right now that maybe you're at that place, that valley of decision in your life of which way you're going to go. And I believe you need to get into rhythm with God and His Word and start to flow with Him. And I believe you're going to start to see things happen. So back to water baptism. Water baptism, when we baptize somebody, you know, I'll just give a brief. I have them hold their nose, because who likes water up their nose? Nobody does, right? So I have them hold their nose, and then I lower them back into the water. And after 30 seconds, no, not that long, I lower them down. And I say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? I cover, the reason why I do it that way, some people think you just need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Some people think you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I do both in case somebody tries to get in you, give you some static later on in life. We got all the bases covered. Amen. You know what I mean? So when I lower you down into the water and then lift you up, it's a very beautiful picture of the death and the burial, and then when you come up out of the water, it's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the new life that's in us. And the reason why that's so important, because how many can remember things they see better than sometimes things they read? Sometimes we do. When we see it with our own eyes, and so even though your eyes might be closed a little bit, we'll show you the video if you need it. But, you know, the idea of having that, it's a physical reenactment of a spiritual event that takes place. And the Bible says here, you know, do you not know, or are you ignorant? You know, God doesn't want us to be ignorant about this thing. It's something so simple as water baptism. Like last week, we had a child dedication here. You know, we dedicate children to the Lord. We do not baptize children in the sense until they come to the age of accountability and they know for a fact that they're born again and they're a Christian. Because it doesn't do any good to be baptized before you believe. The Bible says believe and be baptized, right? There's a sequence that has to be done. And when we follow that, then we start to see the power of God. Now, here, the idea of the word baptize, now this is kind of a little deeper, but you know, I really think it's good that we can get. It says here the word baptized means to place a person or thing into a new environment to alter its condition and relate to the previous environment. Now, what I mean by that is the idea of you and I relate in this environment right now. When I was born again, I still lived in this planet. You know what I mean? Some people think I'm out there. You know what I say? You know, but I still live in this world. That didn't change. What changed is when my life was changed, is that I related to this world in a different way as a Christian. So, most people know a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, right? When a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, it still lives in the same world. It still lives in the same place, but its interaction to that world that is so much different. At first, it can only crawl on the ground, right? You run a risk getting stepped on. I try to miss them, but hey, stuff happens, right? You know? But when they're a butterfly, they can fly above the danger and the problems. And it's a totally different way of living life. And see, that's how we need to see the idea when we come to Christ and the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. When we come up out, you know, out of that water, it's a picture of that new life in Christ. And our interaction to this world is totally different. And it's a changing process. There's an initial experience where you're, you know, passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. And then the process of being, you know, transformed, you know, by the renewing of our mind. We're not going to go into that right now, but that process is very important. So the revelation that we need to see is He died for us and we died with Him. And we need to see that, because my goal of water baptism is understanding that we'll have a beautiful picture of the idea of our death in Christ. Now that sounds kind of morbid to some. You want me to die? Not die in the sense where you cease to exist, but we die to the sin nature or the things that try to hold us back in life. Because that's how we start to walk in victory. Now, you know, the important thing that we need to see, it's kind of a heavy revy. We call them heavy revies or heavy revelation. And it's the idea of identification. Identification, because I do know this, unless we get this concept down in our hearts and in our minds, we will not walk in victory on this planet. You may still make it to heaven, and that's good, but I want you to walk in victory. I don't want the devil to come in to mess with your life in a sense where you're beaten down and you don't think you're any good and you're not going to hardly make it. You know, you're just going to crawl through the gates. Man, when you get to heaven, I want you dancing in there. I want you going through that gate knowing, praise God, I lived a life, I walk in victory. Glory to God. That's what God has for us. But there's so many Christians that walk in defeat. Oh, they're in the family of God, but they can't get past their past. They still see themselves the way they were. They can't see themselves of really who they are. And that's the revelation that we want to get in our life, so that we can walk in God's power while we're here on this earth. You know, nobody wants to follow somebody that's defeated. Would you? If somebody told you to become a Christian, hey, would you like to become a Christian? And you know, and the devil just beats the tar out of you all the time, and you're never going to have a lot of fun, and you can't have any nice things because people think those lead you astray. Who would want to follow that? Nobody. People want to follow people that know who they are in Christ. You know, one of the biggest impressions I have when I first started to dabble in church is I could really witness some people that really knew God. And that was amazing to me. Because I thought God was way out there. I thought God was one of those people that kind of, you can't have any fun. You know, you just barely make it. You do what I say. You're never going to please me. And that was my concept of God. But when I started to meet these other people that talked to God, like they talked, and God talked to them, you know, in a sense, they had a relationship. It was so foreign to me. But it appealed to me. It drew me into a seeking time in my life where I went and bought a Bible and I started to read that thing. And I started to find out some stuff that God was not mad at me. God did not hate me. God did not want me to not have any fun. That God loved me. And maybe you already knew that, but I didn't. I didn't have that revelation, but my life was changed when I found out the truth for myself of what God's Word says. So the idea of identification is He died, so we died. He lives, so we live. And the only way that we can be born again or to have a relationship with God is to understand the fact that Jesus Christ paid my price. So when He was on the cross dying, it was like I was dying there also. I know that's hard to get your head around, but that's how you get free. He paid the price. Well, then they put Him in a grave. He rose from the dead. When I put my faith in the fact that He died on the cross and paid for all my sins, and I put my trust totally in Him, then it's like I rose again to life. I became born again. And so it sounds so simple, but yet it's something we need to wrap our head around so we can get to the place that when we can walk in this, we can walk in a deeper level of freedom that God wants us to have. Because the Bible says that he who has died is free from sin, or the power of sin. There's sin all around us, right? When I was born again, see, I was involved in a certain thing, and you've heard me say what it is, you know. And I used to party. I mean, I'll just spit it out because some people may not know. I love the party, man. I mean, that was just how I rolled. But I knew that I was taking it to an extreme. If I was young enough, I'd probably be in them X Games when it came to partying. I mean, that was just, you know, how I liked to do it. But I knew that as I read more of the Bible that, you know, this was kind of a barrier for me because it was kind of a God. I wanted it more. I wanted Jesus. So I had to come to the conclusion that I wanted Jesus more than I wanted it, you know. And so when I did that, some things started to change in my life. But what happened is the day after I got saved, they still made party materials, you know what I'm saying? They still made, you know, alcohol and all these things out there that I was going too far into. They didn't cease to exist, but what happened, and I, as God is my witness, I died to them. They had no more power over me. Something that I thought I had to do at least 2 or 3 times a week to be fulfilled, I found out I didn't have to do anymore. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but for me, that was liberating. To find out there was a power that was far greater that God could give me to overcome the things in my life that were holding me back. And it just changed my life. I just knew that, wow, God's real. I mean, I knew he was, but man, it was just such a change. It was an experience. It was a personal experience with God. And what I found out is death brings separation, but life brings unification. See, death brought me separation from the power of sin, and then that new life of Christ brought me the unification where I had relationship with him because I had tried to fix myself before. See? And I couldn't do it. I could fix myself and I could go for a certain amount of time and overcome some of those things that were dragging me down, but I was miserable, just miserable. Because there was nothing I put in there to take its place. When I found out I could put Christ in there, then things started to happen, things started to change. And that's why with the idea of being water baptized, when we put you in the water, it's a symbol of that death. It's to, and God wants us to bury our past. I don't live in my past anymore. That person there does not exist again because I died to that person. Yes, Brad Gray is still here on this planet for right now. But the old Brad Gray, the old life, he died and was buried. That old life was buried. And it's important that we buried it. You know, I found out that I can't quit sinning, but I can die to it. And there's a spiritual principle in that. We all make mistakes. We all do things, you know, that grieve maybe the Holy Spirit. But, you know, we can't ask him to help us die to it because no longer a slave to sin. You know, when we bury our past, you know, we leave that old life down there. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been around dead things. I was a farm boy, and I've seen a lot of death in my life. But I do know this. You know, when something dies, you bury it. Because if you don't bury it, it's going to start stinking. And our old life, when it comes to the things that were separated, when we were separated from God, that old thinking, them old light things, you know, we need to bury that and put it away because it's going to start stinking up our new life. You know, I've worked with youth before, and I know there's a few youth in here, so I got to watch what I say. But tell you, it's good to take a shower, kids. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. I won't go any farther. But, you know, there's some BO. You've been around body odor, right? It smells. Well, something that's worse than that is FO. That's flesh odor, the old life. And that's why we need to put that behind us. And that's why when we come up out of the water, it's the likeness of his resurrection. I no longer see myself as that old person that used to have to succumb to the things of this world in that way. Oh, yes, I still make mistakes. I still do dumb stuff. You know, I'm not, you know, hope I'm not giving the impression that I've made it yet because I haven't. But I do know this, the things that were really holding me back, that were really hurting my life, I was able to overcome those things and to have a better life, and that life is with Christ, and I walk in that newness of life. And that's why I have that picture memory. I can still see at 6 o'clock at night at Happy Church out in Denver, Colorado. Well, really, we did it at 5 o'clock. The baptism service was an hour before Sunday service in the evening. I still remember going up there, and I still remember the day I was water baptized and the power that that made in my life to be able to make that separation from the old and to be able to see the new. We always need to keep our faith in the finished work rather than our own physical acts. It's about what Jesus has done for us is important. So lastly, I want to look at one more scripture. And this will help us in our conscience, because that's really where the devil attacks us, doesn't it? You know, he attacks us in our mind. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, it says, who were once disobedient, yep, there we go, that's me. And he's talking about the times of Noah here. I'm not that old, but anyway, I kind of had a similar deal. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, here's the important part of that about having a good conscience. Now, before I jump into that, I want to say one little thing. You know what the symbol for salvation is in the Chinese language? It's a boat with 8 people in it. So the gospel, or the word of God, had made its way over into China. I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? You know, so the symbol for salvation. And see, those 8 people, Noah, his wife, and 3 boys and their wives, when they come through the flood, and they were saved. Now, when we see baptism here, it says it's not to wash, you know, the dirt off of us and get the old things off, but it's about appeal for a good conscience. So to get rid of that guilty conscience that we have. Now, have you ever had a guilty conscience? I think we all have. We've done something to somebody. We've said something to somebody, or maybe we didn't say something to somebody, or we didn't do something for somebody. And so you got that nagging thing. I don't know if it hits you, but sometimes when I go to bed at night, if I said something or done something stupid, all of a sudden that'll be coming. It robs my sleep if I let it. You know what I mean? I had that just the other day. And I don't remember what it was, and I really didn't, is this something really silly? And see, I had to let Jesus have that, because it was holding me back. But see, that's the idea, what God's trying to say here, because I want us to understand the fact that Satan tries to use our mind as his playground. He's going to try to come in and mess with our mind. He has very limited power in some ways, many ways. But what he does, he has the power to deceive. And so if he can come into a Christian's life and start playing with their mind, and then what happens is that the fact he gets us to go by our feelings instead of by what the Word of God says. See, we can't go by how we feel, but we need to go by what God says in His Word. And I know that sounds robotic in some ways, but it's the walk of faith that will help us to walk in victory. See, we don't go by how we feel. Our body will lie to us. Circumstances will lie to you. Satan comes in. He attacks from different directions all at once. I mean, this is just how he works. And he tries to hold us back and to get us down. But, you know, the idea of the old life is being able to see that we've buried it. And we need to pursue this renewing of our mind, because it's not automatic, you know, and it's important. And I help you all I can here at church. And I praise God you come to church, because that's what it's all about, is to get our kids in church and to have fellowship and hear the Word of God preached. And, you know, I may not entertain you the whole service, but my goal is that you learn at least one thing. Maybe I ought to get my sights a little higher. You know what? Maybe 2 things. You know, but if you remember those things, write them down, go home, think about them. Think about what God spoke to you today. Explore it a little bit more. And that's how you grow. You start to see things in the Scripture in a different way. So what I believe is that water baptism can bring breakthrough through your life, because it's a physical reenactment of a spiritual truth. No born-again Christian should ever walk around doubting their relationship with God. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I have never doubted my relationship with God for over 30 years. But I'll be honest, the first year or so after I was saved, I struggled a little bit. I mean, I knew I'd accepted Jesus, but yet enemy would still try to come in. He would try to get in my mind and make me feel unworthy or, you know, unwelcomed. You know, you might go to church and so-and-so may look at you and then they have something else on their mind and they don't go over and shake your hand or give you a hug and think, oh, I've been rejected. Well, see, that's what Satan comes to do, trying to reject you to make you think that you're not welcome. Everybody's welcome here. Everybody. And don't ever, you know, let the enemy lie to you to make you think you're not. But see, we need that breakthrough. You know, we need to get past the past. And as we get past just believing, but we have to receive it. And there's a difference. That's the next step. Most of you have probably heard everything I've told you today several times in your life, I would imagine. But have you received it? Is it yours? Have you taken it for yourself? Like I've always said, I went to church about a year before I became born again. Maybe I was stupid, maybe I was slow, I don't know. But I was checking it out to make sure until I felt the drawing in my heart of the Holy Spirit knowing I need to make this right. And see, that's the importance of being able to receive it. And when, you know, I believed it, but I never acted upon it until the time I received it. And then things changed. So water baptism can be a weapon against the devil. You know, it's a public testimony of an inward work. And when the devil brings up her past, remind him that you died with Christ and you showed the world through baptism when you gave that, when you went and made that step that day. And not only did you die that day, or, you know, it's a picture of that, but your old life was buried. You know, and you're not going to dig it up. How many like to go up and dig up dead things? Don't raise your hand, please. I want to think the best about you. You know what I'm saying? Nobody goes out and digs up dead things. Let your past die. Let it be buried. Don't let the enemy bring that. Now, I'll tell you what, he keeps running his mouth, don't he? Now, if the fact you tell him that you died and that your old life is buried and he still wants to run his mouth, open up the book of Revelation, praise God. Show him his future. Show him what his destiny is. The lake of fire. Lake of fire was not created for people, was created for Satan. But the sad thing is, people who do not follow Jesus and are born again will end up in the lake of fire. I just threw that out as an extra. Amen? You know, sorry, I had to do it. So, the idea of coming to Christ and how important it is, and then is solidified by the idea of water baptism by immersion. We do that in obedience. So I encourage you to take this step if you haven't already. Remember, when he died, we died, and when he lives, we live. Let's pray.